Good morning. This is Gil Hammond with you today, and hope you're having a great day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in this day. Well, we're looking today for a few moments at the subject of forgiveness. It's a mighty important subject. You know, in my years of pastoring, I firmly believe that there are two or three major sins that we commit as individuals that just really block our fellowship with the Lord. You know, any sin will block our fellowship with the Lord. It's like a wall separating us from God. It shuts us out from His fellowship. But God has provided a way for us to be freed of this sin. He says if we will confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful verse there in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. What wonderful promises. If we confess our sin, God the Father, God our Father, is faithful. He will do it. There's no question. He will do it. And He's just or justified because Jesus the Son has paid for all sin. So if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? And then He does something else that isn't mentioned there in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. But He then fills us fresh and new with the Holy Spirit, with Himself, with His righteousness, so that we become the righteousness of God and fellowship is restored with God. Now, forgiveness, or better said, unforgiveness, is one of the major things that separates us from God and keeps us from having fellowship with God. Any sin in your life that is unconfessed will make you miserable as a child of God. But unforgiveness seems to be one that we want to hold on to so strongly. Unforgiveness in our hearts. So many people, so many Christians are carrying around unforgiveness. Are you doing that today? If you are, you need to just release it. You need to let go of it. You need to give it to God. And He's promised that if you confess it, He's faithful and just to forgive us of that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So many people hold on to unforgiveness. They just will not forgive somebody in their life, perhaps in their past. And sometimes there can be something that happened so long ago and we've repressed it so much, or the devil has hidden it from us, that we are actually unaware of it in the consciousness of our life. But it's there down deep in the root of our life, causing a poison to develop. And a root of bitterness to grow. And the Bible says by that root of bitterness, many are defiled. Not just the person, but all who are around that person are defiled by the poison in that person's life. If you're carrying around some unforgiveness, I want you to listen closely today to this. First of all, let me share with you from Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. Here's what it is. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And then Jesus immediately comes back to this part that says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In verses 14 and 15 of chapter 6 of Matthew, Jesus says, For if ye forgive men their trespasses against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And then He states it in the negative in verse 15. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. No other sin is mentioned like this. No other sin in our lives does Jesus say, if you don't forgive, your Father won't forgive you. Now, it's not that He won't. It's simply that He can't. And here's why. Your life is filled with unforgiveness. How can he then fill your life with forgiveness? If you've got it filled with unforgiveness, then God can't put into your life as a vessel forgiveness. You've got to confess it. Let him forgive it and cleanse you of it. That's important. Cleanse you of it. You see, you must be cleansed of it before he can fill you with his forgiveness and his righteousness. So getting rid of unforgiveness is really vital. Listen to this message from yesterday that the Holy Spirit prompted me to give in place of the regular message that I was scheduled to deliver yesterday. The Holy Spirit prompted me to speak on the subject of forgiving others. Listen carefully to this. Would you do so? These encouraging words from God's Word, that there is forgiveness for any sin, that Jesus Christ has paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time. So I want you to be aware of that today. I want you to know that God is ready, willing, and able to forgive you of any sin, no matter how old it is, no matter how long you've carried it, no matter how big you see it being. God is ready, willing, and able to forgive you of any and all sin. Now let me speak just a moment about something that the devil does. The devil, I think, successfully hides some things from us or enables us to rationalize them away sometimes so that we really don't even recognize that they're still there in our lives and that they're a big stumbling block for us and sometimes for others as well. You perhaps have experienced in someone else, you know, looking at someone else's life and seeing something that is so obvious, their attitude, their negative attitude that they have, the negative seed that they go around sowing, the bitterness that is in their lives that just is so obvious, but it's not obvious to them. You see, the devil works to hide things like this from us or to rationalize them. For example, well, I have every right to feel this way. I have every right to be angry about this. I have every right to not forgive this person for what they did to me. That's rationalization. You don't have a right to not forgive them. In fact, if you want God's forgiveness, you must forgive them, you see. For God forgives us as we forgive others. So the devil can succeed often, I think, in either rationalizing a sin in our lives, enabling us to rationalize it, almost rationalize it away. Sometimes I'm so amazed at how adept we become as human beings to rationalizing something away, explaining it away, justifying it in our heart and in our mind. You see, as long as the devil can get us to do that, then he's succeeding in getting us to hold on to that unforgiveness, to hold on to that bitterness, to hold on to that resentment. And we feel like I'm going to hold on with all my might. I'm just not going to give that up, you know. But it's to our own detriment that we hold on to it. It's to our own miserable state that we continue to dwell on it and to dwell in it and to live in it. Now, let me tell you something that you can do. If you don't have, if you have within your life that sense of everything's not right, everything's not right between me and God. I just can't, no matter how I pray, no matter how I read God's Word, no matter how I go to church, I just can't seem to get to that point where I feel God's presence and I feel His love and I feel His forgiveness and I have that abundant life that Jesus spoke of. I just can't seem to get there. Well, in all probability then, the reason is that there's unconfessed sin in your life. And it may be unconfessed sin that the devil
has systematically hidden from you and even now continues to hide from you. So you don't even consciously know about that sin in order to confess it. But you have this vague sense within your life that everything's not okay between me and God. I don't sense His love. I don't sense His joy. I don't sense His peace. I don't have the patience, these fruits of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't have the evidence, you see, of being in full fellowship with God. And when you don't have the evidence in your life, then that's a good indication that you, in fact, are not in a fellowship situation with God. Anytime there's unconfessed sin in our lives, fellowship between us and God is broken. That sin must be confessed and removed in order for fellowship to be restored. So any known sin in our lives, we confess it. We confess it to God. And what does He do? He's faithful and just to forgive us of that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and then to fill us with His righteousness. But what about the sin that we don't even know about to confess? It's hidden so deep within our spirit, within our lives. It's a root of bitterness that goes down so deep that we can't even see the tip of it down there. A sin that Satan has succeeded in hiding from us and continues to hide from us today. Well, here's something you can do. You can go to God and you can say, Holy Spirit, I know, Father, I know that everything's not all right between you and me. I don't have the joy. I don't have the love. I don't have the peace. I don't have the fruits, Holy Spirit, that you bring in the life of a child of God. They're just not there. I don't see them. I don't sense them. I don't enjoy them. Now, with that situation in me, that must mean, then, that there's something in my life that is unconfessed, that's still there, muddying the water, that's still there, just destroying my joy and stealing my peace. So, Holy Spirit, show me what it is. Show me what it is that I may confess it. Pull away the blinding curtains that Satan is using to hide it from me. Reveal it to me, Holy Spirit, that I may confess it. Often, the Holy Spirit then will draw back the shades and let the light shine in and reveal something that's so deep within us we didn't even remember was there. It's been there so long, it's festered, it's grown deep as bitterness into our spirit, into our person. Then confess it. As the Holy Spirit reveals it, confess it. As we are faithful in doing that, He will then reveal more to us. And as more is revealed to us, then we confess that and receive God's forgiveness and receive God's cleansing, you see, of that. And then there's now and then the situation where that is so deep and so hurtful within us that the Holy Spirit is able to pray for us to God without our even being aware of it. So sometimes we need to say, Holy Spirit, perhaps there's something within me that is so deep and so rooted within me that it would just tear me apart for me to see it and for me to realize it and for me to know it. Holy Spirit, pray for me. Ask God to forgive me of this root that is so deep within me that I can't even see it and I can't even know it. Now, Romans chapter 8 speaks of the Holy Spirit praying for us with groanings and utterances that we don't even know, that we can't even understand. So let the Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit to pray for you and to ask for God's forgiveness for any area that is within your life that is, number one, hidden from you, and number two, that would be so painful and so destructive for it to be brought out to your knowledge and to your awareness, that it would be so destructive to you that it's not going to happen. So what the Holy Spirit can do and will do is to pray to God for this thing in our lives that we don't even know about. And it may be best for us to not consciously be aware of. So the Holy Spirit can take that untouchable thing in our lives and bring it to God and confess it to God. And we can be forgiven of that thing and cleansed of that thing without even knowing what we're being cleansed of. So that is possible in the life of the child of God. So there's three categories here. There is, number one, the category of sin in our lives, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, that we know about. Oh, we know fully well that it's there. And we just are going to hang on to it, no matter come hell or high water. Well, we need to come to the conviction of the Holy Spirit to confess it. So the confessing of the known sin in our lives, number one. God will take it. God will forgive us for it. God will cleanse us of that. And he will restore us to fellowship with him if he can. But now if there's more stuff in our lives, you see, the first is the known stuff in our lives that we know to confess. And if we don't confess it, it's just a matter of our being unwilling to do it. So number one, the known sin in our lives we need to confess. Number two, the unknown or hidden sin in our life. The sin that perhaps has been repressed by ourselves. It was so awful that we just repressed it. Or this devil has worked to hide it from our consciousness. You know, it's there in our lives. It's poison down deep in our soul. But the devil is working hard to keep it hidden from us. So there's that sin. Second is that sin that we don't know about. That's hidden from us. Now, we can then pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal that sin to us. Bring it into our consciousness so that we can then confess it and receive God's forgiveness for that too. So first, the known sin. Secondly, the hidden sin, hidden from us, that we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us so that we can then confess it and receive God's forgiveness for it. And then there's a third kind of sin that's perhaps most insidious of all. And that is the sin that is so buried within us, so down deep within us, such a taproot that's gone down into the depth of our soul, that it is not only hidden from us, but it would be very destructive for us to even dig down there to find it, or for the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. So there we can pray, Holy Spirit, there may be this sin within my life. You know, I don't have the fellowship with God that I should have. I don't see the fruit of you, Holy Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the joy, the goodness, the patience in my life. These fruits just aren't there, and I realize they're not there, but I don't know why. Now, the only reason that they're not there is that there's unconfessed sin in your life that is keeping God from filling you with his righteousness. So, we say to the Holy Spirit, pray for me. There may be that area in my life that you don't need to reveal to me, Holy Spirit. You know is best not to consciously make me aware of. But it's in my life. So, Holy Spirit, pray to God for me. According to Romans chapter 8, Holy Spirit, pray to God for me. Speak of this thing that I don't even know about. Speak of this thing that I'm unaware of. Speak of this thing that really, in your wisdom, Holy Spirit, you know it's best that I don't know about, that I don't have in my conscious memory. So confess that to God, that it may, God may forgive it and cleanse me of it. So there's the three sins. The sin of that we know about, that we need to confess. Number two, the sin that is hidden, repressed, or hidden by the devil from us, that we just need to say, Holy Spirit, draw the wrappers off of it. Take the curtains away from it. Show it to me. And your desire in it being shown to you is that you be able to be aware of it, to confess it to God, to get rid of it. Or third, that sin that is so deep and so hidden and so down there deep in your soul that for you to bring it into the conscious would just rip your heart out. And you say, Holy Spirit, pray for me. Pray for me. Confess this sin to the Father, that I may be forgiven of it and cleansed of it and be restored to fellowship with the Father. And when we do that, when we confess that sin, the sin that we know about that we need to confess, the sin that we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, which has been hidden, repressed, that we won't admit. And then finally, that sin that is so deep that it's better that we don't consciously know about it, we ask the Holy Spirit to pray to the Father for us, to forgive us of it, and to cleanse us of it. Now, when we get to the point where we've confessed every sin in our lives, God then is faithful to forgive us of the sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to fill us with His righteousness. When that happens, then we enjoy the fellowship with God because we're one with Him. We're filled with His righteousness. There's no dirt in our lives. It's all been forgiven. God has forgiven us and cleansed us of it, you see. So we'll know. We'll know when there's, when we're free of any unconfessed sin in our life. Oh, we'll know it very well. We'll know when we're experiencing the joy of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, the peace of God, the goodness, the gentleness, the kindness, the faithfulness, the patience, the self-control. We will know when we're experiencing those fruits of the Holy Spirit within our lives, and we will experience them when we have confessed every sin to God, we have received His forgiveness, His cleansing of all unrighteousness, and then been filled by God with His own righteousness. You see, the thing for us to do is confess it. Everything else is God's doing. He forgives us. And He forgives us based upon the fact that Jesus has already paid for that sin. He's paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time. He's faithful to do it, and He's justified in doing it because Jesus paid for it. And He then cleanses us of all unrighteousness. He then fills us with His righteousness, you see. He restores us to fellowship. Sometimes we speak of falling from grace. That has come to be such controversial in terms of the definition of it. The term I'd prefer to use is fallen out of fellowship. We're out of fellowship with God. When there's any unconfessed sin in our lives, then we're out of fellowship with God. And we can be restored in a moment, in an instant. We confess the sin, and then God forgives the sin and cleanses us of all unrighteousness and fills us with His righteousness. See, He restores us. He cleans us up. He fills us with His righteousness. He restores us to fellowship with Him. Our responsibility is to confess it. So we confess the known sin in our lives. Number one, we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that hidden sin within our lives so that we can confess it. Number two, And number three, if that doesn't work, and if we still don't experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit within our lives, then that means that there's some deep, unforgiven, unconfessed sin in our lives that may be so deep that that God doesn't want to actually reveal it to us. So we ask the Holy Spirit to take that sin that's deep within our heart, deep within our spirit, and confess it to God on our behalf. And then let God forgive it and cleanse it, cleanse us of it. And when we are then cleansed of all sin within our lives, we will know and experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We'll know the love of God that passes all understanding. We'll know the peace of God that also passes all understanding. We'll know the joy of God that is incomprehensible to us as just natural human beings. The love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the gentleness, the kindness, the faithfulness, the patience, the self-control. We'll know those, my friend, within our lives. So I hope you've listened carefully to those three types of sins, or three levels of sins perhaps in our lives. The level of the known consciousness, number one, we confess that. Everything we know. Number two, we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any hidden sin, and there will be some. The devil works hard to hide our sins from us, because if they're hidden from us, then we don't even know to confess them. We can't confess them. So number two, we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the hidden sins in our lives that he can. We confess those when they're revealed to us. We receive God's same forgiveness and his same cleansing. Number three, then, there may be that sin within our lives. And the only way we can know this is that if we've confessed the known sin and we've asked the Holy Spirit to reveal the hidden sin and we've confessed that, and we still are not experiencing the love, the peace, the joy, the patience, the goodness, the fruits of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we know then that something is hindering our relationship with God, our fellowship with God. Something is blocking, stealing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that's the devil. The devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what God desires for you, the life that is abundant. So, if you've confessed the known sin, number one, if you've asked the Holy Spirit to reveal hidden sins to you, some have been revealed, and you've confessed those to God, and you still do not have the evidence of the fruit within your life of the Holy Spirit, then the only answer is that there's still unconfessed sin within your life. It's unconfessed sin that you've repressed so deeply, or that the devil has hidden so successfully that you don't even know that is there, and it is sin that is so horrible, so terrible. It's a root that has gone so deep within your life that for you to be made consciously aware of it would be destructive to you. So the Holy Spirit, then, won't reveal it to you in that instance. So you ask the Holy Spirit to take that sin that's hidden so deep, that sin that the Holy Spirit realizes you don't need to be aware of. It would be destructive for you to be aware of. Ask the Holy Spirit to take that sin and confess it to God on your behalf in accordance with Romans chapter 8, where the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings and utterances that we cannot even understand. In other words, he prays about things we don't even know about. We can't even understand them. So he takes those deep, unconfessed sin in our life that is so hurtful and so destructive to us, that we're not even consciously aware of it, and God does not want us to be consciously aware of it, at least at this point. So he prays to God on our behalf. The Holy Spirit takes that to God and says, God, on behalf of this child of yours, I am confessing this terribly deep-rooted sin that this person is even unaware of. And when that happens, when you give the Holy Spirit the permission to take that sin that's deep within your life that you don't even know about, to take it to God in confession, then he does it. And God will forgive it and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And now, my friend, now, you're at the point of having confessed the known sin, having confessed that sin that's been hidden from you, but you've asked the Holy Spirit to reveal to you so you can confess it, and he has, and you have confessed it. And then number three, that sin that may be so deep within your psyche, so deep within your person, that the Holy Spirit, it's up to the Holy Spirit to take it and confess it to God on your behalf. You give him permission to do that. You say something like this, Holy Spirit, I don't feel, I don't sense, I don't experience the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness. I don't experience your fruit, Holy Spirit, like I know I should. So something is blocking that. Something is keeping me from being able to experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. So Holy Spirit, I give you permission to look deep into my person, to look deep into my heart, to look deep into my soul, and any sin that is there hidden from me, any sin that is in the crevices of my soul, that's tucked back in the corners, the dark recesses of my heart, Holy Spirit, drag it out and give it to God. Take it and confess it to God on my behalf, Holy Spirit, so that I can be forgiven of that sin, cleansed of all unrighteousness, filled with the righteousness of God, that I can experience, Holy Spirit, your fruit within my life, that I can be a branch attached to the true vine, which is Jesus Christ, that I can bear fruit and more fruit and much fruit, and that the fruit of your Holy Spirit will remain in my life. I'll experience the joy, the love, the peace, the goodness, the gentleness, the kindness, the faithfulness, the patience, the self-control that you desire to be in my life, Holy Spirit, as a child of God. That can happen, my friend. Now, the answer to it all is Jesus Christ and what he did upon the cross of Calvary. Because of who he was, because of who he is, because of what he did upon the cross of Calvary, I can experience forgiveness for any sin, for every sin. I can have a clean vessel filled with the righteousness of God. I can be that clean vessel filled with the righteousness of God, enjoying the abundant life that Jesus came that I might have. The abundant life with the fruit of the Holy Spirit abundant in my life. I can enjoy the love of God. I can enjoy the peace of God. I can enjoy the joy of being a child of God. Oh, that's what I pray for you today, dear friend. The devil is so adept at hiding our sin from us, sometimes so deep that it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal it, sometimes so deep that only the Holy Spirit can know about it and pray to God on our behalf to get rid of it. But you see, God desires for us to be cleansed of all sin. That's what Jesus died for. He paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time. He desires that you and I, as his child, be in full fellowship with him, enjoying the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as the branch attached to the vine, abiding in the true vine, which is Jesus Christ, living the abundant life that Jesus came that we might enjoy. That's what God desires for each one of us, dear friend. That's what he desires for you today. And as the Tally Trio reminds us, my friend, Jesus is the answer. The answer is Christ.
Yes, the answer is Jesus Christ. Well, we've been talking today about confessing our sin. Confessing our sin. And remember, dear friend, unforgiveness is probably the most common sin that Christians carry around with them. And remember the words of Jesus there in Matthew chapter 7, where he said, if you forgive others of their sin, then my heavenly Father, God, will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their sin, of their unforgiveness, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. So, you have unforgiveness in your heart. Confess it. Get rid of it. We've talked about those three levels of sin within us. The known sin, the sin that's hidden from us by either our own repression of that sin or our own, or the devil hiding it from us. And then, thirdly, that sin that may be so deeply hidden within our depth of our person, either by our repressing it or the devil hiding it, that we don't even know about it, and it would be damaging for us to know about to our person. So we ask the Holy Spirit to take that sin that is within us, that is so damning and so dangerous and so destructive that it would be destructive to us for us to even bring it into the conscious state. We ask the Holy Spirit to take that. We give the Holy Spirit permission to take that sin to the Heavenly Father. And again, any confessed sin, God will forgive, and he will cleanse us of that sin. And then he fills us with his own righteousness, the Holy Spirit. We are a cleansed vessel that contain the pure living water now of the Holy Spirit. And then we can experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit in abundance. The love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the gentleness, the kindness, the faithfulness, the patience, the self-control. The nine fruits of the Holy Spirit as they're listed there in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We can experience those. We can really have the life that is abundant that Jesus came for us to have. Remember, he said, the devil comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, I hope you're living in that state of forgiveness, state of being forgiven of your sins by God. If you are, you are then living in his fellowship, living in his presence, living enjoying the abundant life that God intended for you to have, living enjoying the fruit of the Holy Spirit within your heart and within your life. And you know, God came, or Jesus came, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's in the here and now, my friend. You know, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is for the here and now. But you know, there's laid up for us a crown of righteousness. There's laid up for us blessings that we just can't even imagine. We couldn't humanly understand at this point in time. But you know, God is working on you and me as his child every day with one purpose in mind. And that purpose is to conform us to the very image of Jesus Christ. In other words, God is working on us to make us just like Jesus. Now that means God is working on us to make us perfect, as Jesus is perfect, to make us complete as Jesus is complete, to make us whole as Jesus is whole. You know, we'll one day have incorruptible bodies, immortal bodies. We'll have perfect bodies, and we will be perfect. We will be full and complete. We will know as we are known. We will be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What wonderful things are laid up for us who are the children of God. We are all facing that time when we lay down this body, when we transition from this body into the presence of the Lord. Paul said,
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that's in heaven, my friend. The instant we take our last breath, we will be ushered into the presence of Jesus, into the presence of heaven, in the presence of the Lord. And I'm looking forward to that. How about you? The place we call heaven, the place where there is no sin, no unrighteousness, no evil of any kind, a place of joy and perfect peace, and goodness and kindness and love forevermore. The place we call heaven. That's our home, my friend. And I'm a citizen of heaven today, and I'm looking forward to going there and to being there in the presence of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God is not willing that any should perish, but his desire is that every human being come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the one who went to the cross of Calvary, the one who paid sin's debt for all of us. He paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time, in order that you and I might have eternal life, in order that you and I might be cleansed of all sin, of all unrighteousness, that our sin might be forgiven, that our sin might be cleansed, that we might be filled with the righteousness of God, that we might have fellowship with God the Father and bear the fruits within us and on us as a branch attached to the true vine, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, those nine wonderful fruits, love and joy and peace, goodness, gentleness, and kindness, faithfulness, patience, and self-control. Well, I hope you're living in that state of forgiveness, in that state where you have forgiven others so that you, in turn, can be forgiven by God, that you can be cleansed of all unrighteousness, that you can be filled with the very righteousness of God. That is what he desires, for us to have fellowship with him. And we cannot have fellowship with him when there is unconfessed sin in our lives. So let's take the steps necessary to get rid of that confessed sin or that sin in our lives. The sin that we know about, number one. The sin that is hidden from us that we don't know about, number two. We ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that sin to us so that we confess it and have forgiveness for that too. And then, perhaps, sin so deep within ourselves that the Holy Spirit will not reveal it to us, but the Holy Spirit will take it and confess it. He will pray to God in utterances that are beyond our understanding. And he will ask the Holy Spirit, or ask God, rather. The Holy Spirit will ask God on our behalf to cleanse us of that sin that's deep within us, that's so deep that it would be destructive to us for us to be aware of it. He takes it out like a surgeon would take a cancer out of the body. And he cleanses us of that. He cleanses us of all unrighteousness so that we can now be filled with the righteousness of God and enjoy the fruit of the Holy Spirit within our lives. Well, my friend, we do that by walking by faith, by trusting in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, by walking by faith. It's impossible to please God unless we are walking by faith. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. And that's exactly the way we need to live our lives, walking every day, every moment, by faith.